And now, here are your hosts of Lab Radio, sponsored by Coinstructive.
Hello, this is Aaron Mungle. I am here at Bitcoin Miami 2016. I'm here with Coinstructive and Chris Groshong.
Hey, guys.
And I'm also here with Mate Toke, CEO and founder of Bitcoinist. And so thanks for joining us, first of all.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Would you consider Bitcoinist sort of a... I mean, it's clearly a media. Is it like a publication? Obviously, you have a web presence too.
Right.
And you seem to have a lot of reach.
Right. Well, Bitcoinist is a media outlet and basically a news outlet. We have been focusing on breaking a lot of stories lately. That's not what actually we've started off. We started off with a lot of Bitcoin mining reviews. That's what was Bitcoinist actually founded for.
Because the hardware?
The hardware. Because I was, the way I got into Bitcoin was Bitcoin mining. And back in the day, the market was totally upside down. The supply was really small and the demand was huge. So I found out that, you know, companies are doing all these pre-orders and treating their customers, you know, the way they shouldn't be treated. And I reached out to these companies and say, why don't you send us some miners and actually let people know what you're selling and what you're asking money in advance. So that's how it started. I'm not saying we got a lot of miners, but the way actually the market changed and the supply and the demand ratio got switched over, we actually started to get a lot of miners. And we did a bunch of reviews, video reviews and all kinds of stuff, set up tutorials on Bitcoinist. And then I found out that, you know, it's not going to be enough content regarding the mining industry. So we started to write about different kind of news within the Bitcoin industry and also within the blockchain industry as well.
Nice. What's your background? Like, how did you get into this? It sounds like you've established yourself pretty well. So I'm curious, what was your background and how that brought you to this point?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was a professional athlete for 13 years.
Really?
And I had nothing to do with technology, really, and with Bitcoin, really. And after I stopped, I was a wakeboarder. So okay. Traveled the world and had a lot of fun and went to a lot of competitions and, you know, all that. Then I found out about Bitcoin 3 years ago. I think it was about 3 years ago when the Cyprus crisis came, mm-hmm. and like 10% of the people actually tried to liquidate their money into Bitcoin. And that's when the
Scary.
Price spiked up. And I was like, well, this is something that's really cool. And I'm really interested in, you know, learning more about it. And the mining was huge back in the day. So I was like, well, I really have to get my hands on some mining equipment. And that's when, you know, I started to mine. We had a lot of mining equipment. And then when I started Bitcoinist 3 years ago, right at the time of the Miami conference.
And you've bootstrapped it from the get-go.
Yeah,
and just
exactly.
Just kind of built it up and
organically I built it up. I haven't been involved with Bitcoinist so much lately because I've started to work with the Bitcoin.com project in the last 6 months for Roger Ver. Mm-hmm. And basically, we've been just building up Bitcoin.com. And I'm fortunate enough to have two great partners with Bitcoinist. So they have been taking care of the company. And, you know, I just have to keep an eye on things.
Right. You get to just show up and look pretty, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I still know what's going on with my company, but they're running the show, and you know, it was a great opportunity for me to, you know, start working for Roger Ver and do the new section on Bitcoin.com. We're also having a forum there. We actually had the biggest AMA in the history of Bitcoin. Like literally every single CEO was on the forum, and you know, people got to ask anything they wanted. So we have a lot of cool stuff. We're actually also started to do some podcasts, so
nice.
There might be a little bit. Little competition there, but you know, it's a great website. We've got great educational stuff on there to let people know how to use Bitcoin, and we think it's really important to have like a really complex informational website for newcomers who are just entering the industry to be able to choose what's the best Bitcoin wallet or what's the best place to buy Bitcoin. So that's all. Everything is available on Bitcoin.com.
So,
I'm happy to be part of this team. So.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, it's a great vision. Like you're advising people on all these different facets.
That's correct, yes.
Did that kind of go along with your own personal journey? Because obviously you were like in the trenches yourself with mining, so you knew that content very well, but then you kind of branched out. You know, what was that process like for you? You know, did you get a lot of input from the community, or did you kind of have your own sort of ideas and you're brainstorming constantly as like you think of new stuff? Or how did you build that? Because it's such a rich topic, you know?
Well, Bitcoin.com, the basic complex was put together by Roger Ver. So I basically, when I started to work for the company, everything was already established in terms of like, you know, the buy Bitcoin section or the wallet section where you get to choose the best wallets. It's also geo-targeted. So for example, if you are, you know, in Italy, India, or Brazil, you actually get to see what exchanges are operating in your country, which is making it a lot more easier for you to, you know, get involved into Bitcoin and buy Bitcoin. Because if it wasn't like that, it would be like, well, does Bitstamp support Brazil, or, you know, does whatever exchange support my country, or am I able to get my hands on some Bitcoins? So that's something that's really easy and really helpful for people who are just entering the industry. And also we have, you know, the wallets page, all differentiated, like broken down to hardware wallets, mm-hmm. offline wallets, mobile wallets, and all kinds of stuff. So the whole thing was put together, and you know, I just went with the flow and helped with the news team, and helped with a couple other things to build it up.
Now, you also, obviously you're looking for content. So if anyone is listening out there, like what's the process of like people that have things going on? I mean, can they get in touch with you to like promote things, ideas, stories? I mean, I'm not sure how your process with that is, but I assume you want to know what's going on. So.
Sure. I mean, since we've been in the business for a couple of years, we get a lot of leads from PR companies. We get a lot, we're in touch with almost every single Bitcoin company, like basically knows who are the news outlets in the in the industry, and they also want to make sure they get the, you know, the right amount of coverage to promote their services or to promote their company. So we're getting all those leads from companies, and some marketing agencies are reaching out to us to run stories. But we are also constantly looking for like mainstream media, also digging forums and Reddit and all kinds of platforms to be able to, you know, get our hands on the latest news within and actually without the Bitcoin industry.
That's awesome. I really want to get, maybe we'll even ask you a little more about sort of the bigger picture and what you've seen. But before we do that, let's ask the usual questions, like what is your definition of Bitcoin?
Well, I think Bitcoin is one of the greatest inventions since the internet itself.
Nice.
And I have been hearing this. These are not my thoughts, but I have heard about them, and I really like it. Mm. I really like.
You resonate with that.
Yeah, I definitely do. So I think it's truly an amazing invention.
It's a gift, yeah. And then how about the blockchain?
Oh, well, that's something that I always want to talk about, because there are all those banks or those you know, venture capitals coming into the industry saying, "Well, we're interested in the blockchain, but not about the Bitcoin." Well, Is there a blockchain without Bitcoin?
I like it.
Right? Yeah. There is. You can have your own blockchain, but that's just like, you know, your private network.
It's a private database.
It
would be like partying in a room by yourself.
You can have,
like,
yeah, exactly. You can have
yourself,
your,
like, okay.
Everyone can have their ledger on their own, and what does it do? Nothing.
It's called Excel.
Right? So I'm like, yeah, you can be interested in the blockchain, but I mean, this is not something you can, you know, you can just, oh, I only want the blockchain. I don't want to deal with Bitcoin. Well, this is not something that, you know, this is something that has to be, you know, well communicated within the industry, and for everyone who is, you know, trying to say, I just only want to deal with the blockchain. You actually have to deal with Bitcoin too. And you know what? You should be dealing with Bitcoin, because it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it shows there's kind of a lack of understanding, and the media seems to take love running with this sort of like, it's like they're sort of reading on some paper, and like everyone's reading that same thought. And
yeah, you know what? I get really sad when it comes to mainstream media.
Yeah.
I mean, really, there was an article on TechCrunch lately, and they're just not getting the entire picture. I'm not sure if
TechCrunch themselves isn't.
Of course, it's much better than like some of the other other than mainstream stuff, saying like the CEO of Bitcoin was arrested, or you know, like a Bitcoin mining facility or data center burned down in China.
And then people, like,
so the Bitcoin mining is collapsing and all that. Like, you know, like all these misinterpretations in the mainstream media. Now I'm like, sensationalism, and of course they're hunting for traffic and all that. But I just don't really get the idea why they're not really taking the effort to, you know, Google it. Just really Google it, and you know, read a lot of. There's plenty of information out there. I'm not expecting anyone to read the white paper, but at least, you know, just get some more thoughts
before
you actually publish something to the mainstream with huge media outlets.
Exactly. And I feel the same way about IT. Like, I also work in the cloud and IT space, and I feel like the media has the same level of reporting about that stuff too. Like, they don't really, they basically hook onto buzzwords because that's all they can understand.
Right.
And then they kind of just regurgitate that. So now I'm curious, you know, being in the, you've been in this sort of industry since you've seen evolutions of mining and like people probably coming and going. Like, I have a pad of paper from a Bitcoin trader.
Right.
And it's just funny to me. I'm like, this pad of paper lasted longer than the company. So it must be interesting to kind of see people come and go, who survives. Like, it seems like it's like kind of a war of attrition, you know, like who's going to kind of keep standing over time, you know? If we look at it month to month, year to year, you know, that's not enough time, right? Because, you know, but then you give it a few years, you see how things change. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on like how you've seen the industry evolve. Like, what have you seen as like the really important pieces of this? I think you touched on one, which was Bitcoin and the blockchain are intertwined. What else have you seen as like really important?
Well, unfortunately, I have a pile of business cards and a big portion of them are out of business already. And it's really sad to say that there has been a trend in the Bitcoin industry, which is basically investing in a lot of money to build scams. And this is something that I really hope is going to change. It has changed a little bit in 2015. We're getting a lower number of scam companies entering to the industry. I hope it's gonna definitely even be more reduced in 2016. I think there's a reason because of that. People have been burned so many times and, you know, they are getting more and more cautious about their money. Back in the day, they just like a new exchange opened or a new cloud mining company opened. Oh, I'll just jump on. I'm just going to send them, you know, like maybe 3-5 Bitcoins. And then when they're gone and, you know, you're not able to go to their website anymore, you're like, well, I used to have 5 Bitcoins on that platform. But regarding how the whole industry evolves, I think all that money coming in from VCs and all the killer applications actually getting into the hands of people are definitely something that's helping the industry and that's moving it forward. Mm-hmm. For example, I really love the new Airbits integration with the Fold app.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you are here in the US and you like coffee and you like Starbucks, it's just amazing. Like, you get 20% off and it's just literally like, you can get the Starbucks gift card within seconds. I was actually like in line. My Starbucks gift card was done, and I was in line waiting to order the coffee. And I just on the fly, I bought the gift card, $20 gift card. You know, I think it was like $15 mm-hmm. or something. And you know, I was able to save $5 on that Starbucks purchase.
The coffee for free.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you know, they have the same thing for Target. They have the same thing Purse.io with Amazon. Mm-hmm. I think we need all these kind of applications and all these kind of services, companies to get on board, because that's what people are going to be interested in. Oh, I can save 10% on every single stuff that I purchase from Target. Why wouldn't you do that? All I need is Bitcoin. But then again, if you need Bitcoin, you're going to ask a question, where can I get Bitcoin? I don't want to wire transfer money to like an unknown company that I just, you know, I just pulled up online, which is a Bitcoin exchange based out of whatever country. And then it takes 4 days for my money to get there. People kind of want to like, oh, can I use my credit card to buy Bitcoins real quick? And this is something that hasn't been really, happening in the US because of all the regulations. And also there are fees, like they would take like, you know, 5-7% just to buy Bitcoins with your credit card. But at the same time, it's instant. Like, you can get it like right away. So I see this is definitely developing, and it has a good direction for sure.
Very cool.
And can you touch on, because you guys are international.
Right.
And you spend a lot of time traveling and building connections. So can you talk about like some of the things that you see of a global perspective that maybe like we don't always get because we're not constantly traveling internationally? So like an overall picture of what you've seen as the evolution also globally. And then of that, what would you change if you could with your magic wand?
Right. Well, first of all, I think not just our company, but Bitcoin is the key to Bitcoin is just so international. Yeah, like you could be in Tokyo right now and I could be sending you Bitcoins. You would get it right away. I think a huge thing is going to happen with the remittance market, because no one wants to send money with, you know, Western Union and get charged like $50, $100 just for a single transaction. I think this is going to be a game changer, but it needs a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of energy to put into to educate people how to do that. Also, it's going to be a war with Western Union and all the banks and everything who are really against, you know, losing all that big money, because if you're looking at the transaction volumes, they're having huge transaction volumes. As far as you know, the geographical differences and, you know, the trends, Europe has been really big about Bitcoin. The UK has been really supportive. For example, Bitcoin is incorporated in the UK. We actually can invoice people for our marketing for the banner ads with Bitcoin. So we get paid in Bitcoin, and an accountant takes care of it, and it's, you know, it's legal income paid by Bitcoin, which is super cool. And that's
an important movement, the buyer right, and supplier, like right. doing commerce.
And there's
right?
there's a great online accounting software called QuickBooks, and they have integrated Bitcoin into their system.
No kidding.
So really you wanna issue an invoice and you choose payment by Bitcoin. And I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
So the more and more companies are getting on board, the more and more easier it's going to be. But Europe has been really big about Bitcoin, but I think there's a huge gap between Europe and the US. I think, you know, there are a lot of startups in Europe, a lot of really big companies, but, you know, everyone wants to kind of come here to the conferences and, you know, meet people in Palo Alto and the Bay Area to actually be closer to them and be closer to the money, to the funding and all that. So I think the Bitcoin Foundation is definitely going to have to do something with that gap between the US and the European Bitcoin communities. And if they can somehow, you know, make the connection closer, that would be also a game changer, in my opinion.
That's really cool. What excites you about sort of the direction this is going? And then also, you know, you could answer what sort of scares you, two pieces. I think it sounds like you're really excited about a lot, you know, from what you
Oh, for sure. I've been, mentioned. I mean, there is no reason I shouldn't be excited. I mean, I've been into the industry for the past 3 years. I have seen a lot of, you know, ups and downs, but at the same time, I'm seeing like an increasing trend with the price, with the companies, with the excitement, with the buzz, with the money, VC money flowing into the industry. I think all of that happening is really good. Banks and those financial institutions a little bit scare me.
Yeah, like because, the R3 kind of stuff.
Yeah, because, you know, they're really interested in the industry and in blockchain, but they literally can just, if they think about it, they just can buy out the whole thing because they have so much money. So I just hope that the Bitcoin community and then the whole industry is going to be smart enough not to, you know, let them ruin this whole picture, because it's an amazing technology.
If someone was, obviously Bitcoin is it .com or .net?
.net.
.net. Bitcoin is .net, shameless plug. I'm trying to talk to people about, you know, where are some good starting points, and surely that's been part of your goal, so that's actually really cool. We definitely need to promote you out more because we have a similar vision, and I think part of our goal is to like curate all these great people that have maybe been in it before us in certain areas, and you know, it's just combining and curating that information, so I think that's great. But what would you recommend for people to get started to learn about Bitcoin and some of these great applications you've gone over?
Well, I would really recommend Bitcoin.com because that's a website that's, you know, you have everything there. Really, if you wanna open the wallet again, you get to see all the Bitcoin wallets that we suggest. You get to see all the exchanges where you can buy your Bitcoins. If you're interested in reading news about the industry, there is news.bitcoin.com. Everything's there. If you're interested in more like you know, talking to people and make connections, the forum is great. It's a great platform. Mm-hmm. Also, education. You get to read a lot of educational stuff and a lot of information about how to get started. About security on Bitcoin.com. So definitely the website to start off with.
And obviously using it, right, is another piece to it. Any thoughts on, so there's still some bottlenecks, right? Like you use the Tokyo example. I send Bitcoin to somebody in Tokyo or let's say some other country where maybe if that person, like what's their cash out? Are there any bottlenecks for them to cash out? For example, let's say maybe, you know, to get that their country's currency, they might still have to interface with someone. Hopefully there's like a local Bitcoins has proliferated there, but if there isn't, would they then have to go to some kind of this kiosk or establishment to cash out?
Sure. I think local Bitcoins are literally everywhere in the world, but there are more and more Bitcoin ATMs getting installed all over the world. But I would actually just want to see where they don't want to transfer or sell the Bitcoins to get the local currency. I would rather want to see
them
using Bitcoin in the convenience store, using Bitcoin, you know, in the restaurant, and using Bitcoin at all places, really.
So essentially, like this entry and exit into Bitcoin is kind of a bottleneck, but once you're in it, there was enough stores and places offering it, you could just operate within Bitcoin. And so it's kind of like learning another language, right? Like when I first was studying Spanish, it was like I was thinking of Spanish to English, but then at a certain point you want to think in Spanish because it's kind of its own words and thinking, even in Hindi too. You know, my dad's Indian, and there's certain things that just don't translate, and I think it's because so that's kind of what I thought of when you said that. Cool. How do we get in touch with you? And
sure, you can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Mate Toke. You're gonna have my name spelled on the podcast, so you'll be able to do that.
Yep, we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Cool. Well, thank you for being here. Thanks for all your work you're doing. We'll definitely make it a point to promote what you got going on, your information. It's great that you're putting that together.
Thanks so much, guys, for having us, and congrats for the show.
Hey, thank you.